That's a good question. So the question is, if you have Rashi or some Mefarsh who has a Pshat and a Medrash, which one actually happened? So, see, I think the answer is, doesn't matter. But also the Pshat. You know? It doesn't matter, because I think, like, the idea is the Torah is written. It's like Shem Panim LaTorah. The Rebbe wants to give a share about this, but basically, like, the Torah is written in a way that it's like vague enough. I don't know, however God did it, but he basically wrote it in a way that it lends itself to being Nidrash, like, on many, many ways. And it, like, it contains many ideas and different layers, and there's different ways to interpret it. And they're all true. Or there's truth to, I mean, they're all true. And the ideas are true. And it's like a springboard for ideas. Well, no, they couldn't do what happened. But that's, if the point of the book is like a history book, then either one thing happened and none of the other things happened. But if the point of the book that God wrote was to convey ideas, then one way could have actually happened, but God wrote it in a way that it could reference a different idea, which is like another reading of the events that didn't actually happen, but it also conveys like a deeper idea, like behind the scenes of the event. You know, like for example, like that thing we did.
But what actually happened was the Pshat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Like let's say that Malachim thing. It's like an extreme example, but like the thing we did the other night. You know, nothing actually happened, but it's like a subtle, like a message of what was going on behind the scenes. So it sort of happened, you know, but it didn't really happen, you know. So like a lot of times, or sometimes they're just like things that didn't really happen, but it's like written in a way that it contains references to other stories that didn't quite happen, but like are also good ideas and true ideas and ideas you can learn out from it, you know. So it's like it's not written, I don't know, I guess it's not written and like spelled out, or not. Like if it's written totally spelled out, it could be it wouldn't lend itself to that so much. Or maybe it would anyways. I don't know. Somehow God did it that it like lends itself different ways. But I mean I would think Amikasim shoot though, if you want to know like what really happened, I would think Pshat. But I don't know if that's like the goal is to figure out what happened, because then it's like a history book. Like your point is just to figure out the history. What's the point of the history? The point is to learn the ideas. So if God wrote it in a way that it lends itself to all those different ideas, I'm not sure what difference, like what difference there is, which one is the one which actually happened and which is the one which is just, you know, not the one that actually happened, the one which God means to teach you ideas for. Either way, it's the same, you know, the ideas are there. You know what I mean? You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, do it.
Okay, so, my question is that I see two kinds of learning. One is more like personally active learning, where you're going through this to be on your own, gathering facts, ordering facts, and like coming up with a theory, or, you know, coming up with an idea to resolve it, and like, figure out sugya on your own. And then I see the other kind of learning of a more passive learning, where you go to a chacham and he's worked everything out for you already, and he'll give you insight into the area, most probably in a way that you couldn't come to on your own because he's a great chacham. So I just want to know the benefit of, or what would be the drawback to if, let's say, at least theoretically, if it's possible to always be learning from a chacham and not do anything on your own, what would be the drawback to just always hearing Torah from a chacham and not working anything out on your own? Because it seems more beneficial that way, because the complete idea is already worked out. You don't have to, so to speak, waste your time working through a sugya. You already have the end idea. So what would be the drawback to just doing that, if there is one?
Okay.
So I thought I had an answer, and I kind of like it, but I kind of feel like it could be beaten up a bit. But I was thinking, because the only reason you would ask a rabbi or a chacham that would know the topic is because you don't think you could get to where he got. Or, I guess, as efficiently.
Where you don't want it.
Right. Where you don't want it, but I guess where you get it. And you don't think you get to where he got as, I guess, efficiently as just asking him, right? So then if he tells you the, like, I guess if he tells you the, I don't know, I guess, quote-unquote, answer, like, the
Easier
and insight into it, you won't understand it the way he understood it because you didn't go through it. And, I mean, it just seems like you'd have to do what he did to get what he's saying, you know? You can't just skip to that and be like, just tell me the ending. You know, I think you have to run through it a little more.
Right.
Or, but I guess you could argue, well, why doesn't he just explain step by step to you?
Yeah, so either he explain step by step, or let's say it's something that he thought about for days and he just couldn't figure it out, and then he did, you know? You just don't have to think about it for days anymore. The answer is there.
You see the idea of next?
What? I mean, that's the answer, but he'll explain the facts to you.
He'll explain the facts, but
right,
you got
get to him much quicker.
And you just have to think about it for 20 days. You know, you would have to think about it for 80 days, I don't know, whatever it is. Even if you could, even if you were in the same thing, even if you could have thought about it in 20 days. It took him 20 days to come to it. He comes to it finally, and oh, here, I got it. I'll figure it out. But it just seems like the only difference is that he had to wait for it. I mean, you get it.
I was just thinking, like, maybe also then you're going to always have to rely on this other person in order to learn. Or not even if it's just one person, even if it's multiple, meaning once that person dies, you go to the next person, and the next person.
Let's say the
universe
is infinite. Let's say
Right. But then you'll, meaning I guess you could argue as a player, be dependent or independent. But I guess on the other hand, you're still independent.
I mean, there is a long, just on a practical level, I think that's a good answer. But you want to know if there's an intrinsic answer. Because it's like a very theoretical case. On a practical level, you don't have infinite tapes of infinite buttons, so on. You know, it's just not a realistic plan. Like, you have a long life and a lot of time to learn. It just, I don't think you have enough tapes to keep you going.
Well, I guess I'm asking, like, should you exhaust those first?
Instant.
Seems like you should.
Okay, fine. I understand. I forget the practical. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, right.
Practically is, you know, worth something. You know, and I think it would go a long way.
Right.
Practical arguments. But I guess we could ignore that and see if we could work it out on a theoretical level.
Right.
But, you know, it shouldn't be undermined, you know, undervalued. Yes.
So there could be multiple drawbacks, but, like, I guess one is, like, you won't really know how to do what the fucking could.
Why do you need to know?
Who cares?
I think that has benefits, like, outside of just, like, learning. Like, if you're just interested in, like, seeing the idea, and like you had just limited resources, then you could never need to know how to do it yourself. You don't just be able to see the beauty of the idea through the problems tape. But, like, I think learning how to like go through that analysis yourself has benefits like outside of learning how to do like your life and like
meaning
and,
then you
like,
say
analyzing topics and I don't know if you could learn that skill from like just hearing the finished product.
Right. You mean it's like part of the goal is not just hearing a lot of ideas, but it's perfecting
right.
your mind.
If
and your
goal
thinking
is, yeah, just like a revel in beautiful ideas, then maybe that's better. To just like hear it and not have to go through that yourself. But like, if you want to develop the skill to like.
Think.
Yeah, like analyze an area.
Okay.
Which is beneficial inside of just learning.
You missed part of the question. We also have people for that.
Oh, yeah.
Infinite.
Or your oracles. Huh?
You have
come
for that too, that's
question.
What do I do now?
Oh man, this is a great dream. Yeah, okay, Raf, you're gonna say something?
Edmund.
What? Yeah, no? Oh, Ben? Oh, yeah, Ben, I'm sorry.
Number one, do you think that we could would it be possible to rephrase this question? when we have Shiram, in yeshiva, there's always like a question, and then it's always like the Rebbe will take suggestions, and then after all the suggestions, then they'll offer their answer. So the question would be, why do we need the suggestion process?
Right.
Why don't we just skip to the answer?
Right.
This is a similar question.
Right, yes. Yeah, I think that's kind of what Sammy's, the premise of his question is that it seems to be that we think in yeshiva that there is value in a person being able to do it on his own. That's why we like Ashiram are kind of set up that way, to try to teach a guy to do that. And he's just wondering, like, 1 second, why is that our premise here? What's the point of that? Let's just listen to tapes all day long. Right, so it's kind of like, but you're right. It's you're taking the form like Sammy Zori, you know. Right, it's the same question, I think, in another form, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
What
mm-hmm.
I
yeah. Yeah, sure.
In the context of yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't a formulated answer, but I wanted to point out that, you know, at least the way I see it, it's when any, like, any idea is told over to you, like, it's not good enough to just hear the words. You have to think about it for yourself and understand it. So ultimately, it's still you doing the thing. It's not like he's doing it for you. But ultimately, it is self-generated. That's kind of my point.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
That's like, if you could just have someone bring you to the end already, and like you'll just do the work at the end. Obviously, you're gonna have to internalize and understand it. Right, that's part of what it means to.
Right.
You know, like you can get to the end already. I don't get what the benefit looks like of toiling through the facts and stuff like that in life. Yeah.
I also don't know if you could appreciate as much without like. You can understand it, but you might not understand why. Like, it seems like there's a simpler spark. Like, why don't we go with that one?
Yeah. But then, like, can you make that argument for everything? Like, okay, then just I should understand every single possibility so I can appreciate this little pool. So that doesn't sound beneficial.
I don't appreciate every single one. But.
He's saying it's like part of the svara is. The appreciation of the idea is to know why this has to be, this is the way to understand it. So, like, you could take it on authority that this is the way to understand it, but often the way to understand it is you see the challenges and difficulties with the other approaches and the normal, natural approaches. So, like, oftentimes you could hear a svar and you don't really appreciate it. You think, well, I mean, that's so forced, or that's a big chiddush, or, like, why are you saying such a big chiddush? What's wrong? It's just a plain way of understanding it. So, like, by working through the things and seeing the difficulties in the sugya and the problems and the whatever, you get a bigger, you could appreciate the svara. Well, I think there are times where, I've definitely heard svaras, and I'm like, I don't really see why you have to say, why does Rebbe have to say that? You know, probably because he worked through it and he doesn't see, you know, doesn't like all the normal ways to say it, but, like, it seems to me like there's a lot of easier ways. It's a massive chiddush, like, you have to warrant it. Well, I don't know if it's always the case, but that's one idea. Part of understanding the idea is to see why it is that way, or why it has, what leads you to that idea. And just to say it over, I mean, I think that the learning process, the more firsthand learning is, and this relates to Ben's point, I think, is that the more firsthand the process of learning is, the more you internalize it and the more like real the knowledge is to you, the more you gain from it. Like, I think for sure, if you hear a svara and shir, there are different ways to hear a shir. There's a way to hear a shir just passively, you hear like, oh, that's nice. And there's a way to think into it and work it through. Why do you say it? What are the steps? I mean, definitely. I think in one of them you could actually, and if you just hear it, you don't really appreciate the idea. Just like a show, you're watching it and it passes one ear and out the other ear, you know, not really attaching yourself to the idea. But when you really go over it to an extent, you could appreciate it and really make it yours. See, I don't think you could hear an idea. This is an interesting point, but like, for instance, Reb Chaim has an idea, he tells it to you, and you don't understand it. Right? And he's trying to write out a svara. Like, so why don't you get it? You know? And like, I don't think you could ever read a svara. I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, Reb Chaim, they say, isn't a great writer. But I don't think you could ever read a svara or write a svara and read it and chop it. Okay, here's interesting. There's a raya. This is maybe some of you have heard this before. I don't really know. But there's a Gemara which says, they not let it do a din Torah. But you're not allowed to pass in a shayat case on Friday. You don't do the nefashim on Friday because you have to kill him right away. And if it's Misa, and it's going to finish right close to Shabbos, and then you're not allowed to leave him overnight or something. You have to like do it right away. You can't. They have to want it then. So I forget the case exactly. It says, why not just basically write down your svara, and then you'll be able to read it over and so whatever after Shabbos or Vaskin or something like that. I forget exactly the practicalities. But basically, the point is, why not write down your svara? Write down the svara and then do the Gemara then. Afterwards, when you have this, you know, after you read it, and basically the Gemara says liba de inchi inchi, it's like you can forget it. Like, even if you write it down, it doesn't help. And the point is that you can't read an idea or tell someone an idea, because an idea is not just words. The words could make you think of the idea, but the idea is like in your brain, and each person's brain is their own brain, and you gotta make the connections and like realize the idea in your mind, you know. And no one could say the words that make the idea register in your mind. You have to think. Like, if you're not thinking, you're not going to get the idea. You can't put the idea in someone else's head. You could say it in a way that will allow them to try to almost come up with the idea themselves. It's almost like they have to think of the idea themselves. Sort of. I mean, you make it easier for them, you know, by telling them things. Or even if a Rebbe gives you an idea, it's like you hear it and then you think. And you ever see, if you say over the Rebbe's idea, it's always a little bit different. It's never quite exactly the same. Because it's like you have to, like, wrap your head around it, and that means fit it into your categories, into your mind, into the way you see it. And like, he's saying it the way he sees it, but then he's trying to make you see it, but then when you put it into your mind, if you're just going to repeat back his words, you don't get it. It doesn't fit in your mind usually exactly, because you have a different mind. So it's like you see it a tiny bit different than you may realize you're saying it a tiny bit different from him, but that just, you have to just make sense of it. It has to, otherwise you're just like saying words, you know. So the idea is when you have to, like, is something in your mind where, like, make connections with that which you already know, and now you kind of grasp the idea. But, so what's my point? So what I'm saying is, like, learning is about that type of a grasp of concepts. And I just think that when you develop an idea from the beginning to the end, like, you work through the steps and you get, you know, you work through the process of getting there, I think you have a much different, like, arguably better, in general, better grasp of the idea. And you appreciate the idea more, it registers on your mind in a clearer way than when you say over, when you hear it from someone else. Like, for instance, if I want to give over a shiur or someone else, like whatever shiur or someone else's shiur, I always feel a little bit uncomfortable because I'm not really sure how to answer a question. Let's say someone asks me a question on it. I don't really know exactly what he's going to say. I don't really fully appreciate all the nuances of the idea. Like, if I work out an idea, I'll say it over. I know, like, I feel at home with the idea. And if he asks me a question, I'll see how I could, like, know how to work with it and maneuver with it. Because I kind of, since I've developed it from beginning to end, so I kind of have a certain grasp on the idea. Which I don't think anyone who I had said over that idea to is going to have. And I don't know if it's impossible to, but I just feel like if it is, it's because they put in almost as much time as I have. Maybe a little, you know, not as much, but it's just the way to grasp an idea is to fully, you know, work on it. I mean, I guess you save a lot of time. I guess you would save a lot of time because there's like all the failed attempts. But I just don't know that you appreciate the thing without. I'm not sure.
Don't you appreciate the shear that someone gives them?
Differently. I think differently. I don't think you appreciate it the same way.
Yes.
It depends. I mean, look, of course, if it's a nicer idea, it depends. I mean, look, the idea is going to be nicer, so let's say you appreciate it. Let's say your Rebbe's idea is going to be 100 times nicer than yours. So even though your idea you could work out, maybe it's still not going to appreciate it as much because the idea isn't as good. But, like, let's say you'd be able to work out Rebbe's idea or you hear him say it. I think you appreciate it more when you work it out because you grasp the idea in a different way, so you could have a different feel for the idea and you could attach yourself to it in a greater way than if he says it over. It's almost like you hear it from by authority and the conclusion. And it sounds nice, but I don't think you really appreciate the idea. I mean, you usually kind of barely get it. Or you get a little bit or whatever, and you kind of see it, sort of. And I don't know, just like you don't really. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what your experience in shiur is, but I feel like oftentimes the experience in shiur is you feel like the Rebbe. I'm sure you've had this feeling. You feel like the Rebbe gets the idea more than you got it. You know, I've had that experience. I don't know, but I just think you got it, but not as much as he. Yeah, you kind of see that he's saying it in a certain way, or he's happy about it, or I don't know, just something about it. It just like you get it, but it just. Part of the idea is the energy you have in the idea and the way you could attach yourself to it. And I just don't know if you could do that by listening to... maybe it's theoretically possible to. I just feel like it just doesn't work that way. Your mind has to be fully engaged in the idea to appreciate it. And that happens by actively being involved. When you just sit back, passively hear the thing, and like kind of sort of think about it or whatever, I just feel like it doesn't become part of you in the same way. You don't appreciate it as much. You don't see, you know...
I told us earlier this year that Plato has a quote that like teaching is not filling a bucket, but rather it's like lighting a fire. He said like a similar idea that like, you're not like trying to like put, you can't like try to put the knowledge into a person's head. You have to try to like spur them on to figuring it out. If you want to like get the idea across.
There's another quote, I think by the Rambam. I think he says, I don't want to deprive you of being able to come to idea yourself by telling it to you. Something like that. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to, like, do it. I think he holds it's like a disservice to a person to tell him an idea that he can figure out on his own. I forget, I already explained why. I think maybe he said like this, is that, it's something to do with it. It's like there's a certain drive for the idea that propels your energy towards getting the idea, like the desire to understand. And it's like when you have the answer, it's like there's like a satisfaction of the solution, and it's like your mind can't be engaged in the same way. It's like because you're satisfied or something, it's like you don't. It's like your mind is like relieved, and now you can't like involve your put your energy into it in the same way. It's like there's a certain type of energy which a problem could draw you into the thing, and once there's a solution, what?
Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah. It's like the process of the perplexed, that state of working on something, allows you to engage yourself in the idea and the knowledge, in a full manner. And when you're being told the solution, it's like you're just like relieved for the solution in a certain sense, and you can't get yourself into it in the same way. Like, I think you'll notice you're probably more engaged in working on an idea yourself than in a share or hearing an idea. It's like a different type of engagement. Yeah. There's also, I think, part of the process is that, I mean, there's one level, which I'm not sure where to put this, but it's like there's an enjoyment of the process itself. I mean, I don't know if the process is a pain. You make it like it's a painful process, like you're wasting your time, and you know. But I think that's part of the thrill of learning, is the chasing down the problem and trying to maneuver and coming up with an idea and it not working. And there's like it's part of the fun, you know. And just to like hear the conclusion, it's like you appreciate it, but it's not, you know, it's just not as enjoyable. Just I think that's part of the process. It's part of what the nature of the activity. So I just don't know how. I don't know if like listening to tapes is enjoyable as working and learning on your own or working out ideas. It's like the whole process of discovery is like it's like reading the end of the book. If you told a person, like, you take every book and I'll just tell you the plot and tell you the punchline. Okay, the next one tell you the plot and punchline. It's not the same thing as reading a book. You know, it's like there's the experience of reading the book, which is enjoyable. So, like, there is a process of learning, which is enjoyable, and, you know, for whatever the enjoyment's worth. But it could be that it's more, you know, maybe has some other value than just the enjoyment. Like, I feel like it does, but I'd learn on that level. I mean, the process. I'm saying, like, process over a goal. The process of learning itself is enjoyable, and I would think of value. I think that somehow attaches you to the Torah, attaches you to the source of the Milsina Torah. Yeah. No.
I think it's part of that. What's the idea of Naham the Kisufa?
What?
Can we just finish this? No, in terms of this.
Well, I know what you're saying, but what do you say?
Naham the Kisufa?
don't know what that is.
Letter of embarrassment?
Like getting, like, I think there's like there's a question that's asked, like, if you're just given full mava without, like, let's say you would be put, like, why do you have the world? Why do you have the world? Why don't you just have, like, a test? If you accomplish the test, like, some sort of, like, field, if you get the test right, you go to...
I don't know. Is there a source for this? I never heard of it before.
What's the
of embarrassment. Like, you get something without having the...
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Maybe you could... So why don't you try to find the source, and I'll look at it, because I never heard of it before. I'm certainly not going to say an intelligent answer, but, you know.
Come on.
But it sounds interesting. I never heard of it, so I have to look into it.
It's also possible, like with what you were saying before, that, like, if you're not the one who worked, like, if you work it out for yourself, then it's much more likely that your understanding will be much more connected with, like, the way you see the world, like, the way you, and it'll be much easier to, like, integrate it with, like, your perspective and, like, grow from it, you know what I mean?
Right, right. It's true. I feel like even when you hear ideas from someone else, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of, it may beg the question, but I feel like a big, like, when, at least that's what we did in Yeshiva, that's what it's about. It's like, hearing ideas from a rabbi is, like, more about learning how to do what he's doing than hearing the beautiful ideas that he's saying. Which is like, I think there should be an appreciation of the beautiful ideas, and there is something to that. You know? And it moves you. But I think also just on a practical level, I mean, this is the practical point, but I just think it's like, yeah, like there's a life world, there's like a world of ideas out there. Like, that your mind could always be working on. Constantly. And your ability to think on your own independently opens up worlds of ideas on a regular, all the time. Like, your whole life could be surrounded with ideas. And that's kind of Matt's point. It's like, much more than just the tapes that you listen to. It's like your experiences, you see a Rashi, you hear this, you hear a conversation amongst people. Like, there's just like a world of different things to think about, and the degree that your mind is developed and trained in being able to think, so you could just be engaged in ideas in a first-hand way all the time. And like shiurim is just like, it's a passive type of I think an active learner is like where your mind is engaged in the world and pursuing knowledge is the goal. And I just don't know that like the vehicle of a tape or a shiur is like, it's a passive type of learning.
You're not trying to figure something out. You're trying to understand what...
Yeah, understanding the world. Yeah, and I just... Right, and it's not like you're trying to... It's not just like a show. It's like you're engaged. It's like your mind being able to be engaged in ideas, which transcends, like, just shiura. Yeah. I think it's a lot of Ben's point before. It's like, learning involves, like, thinking on your own. And, like, I just feel listening to shiuras largely, like, you know, brings you, it's not the right vehicle for that. I mean, it could be, but I think if a person's doing it too much, it's like you're not really engaging yourself in that type of a way. It's like you're more like, you know, watching TV as opposed to like, you know, like engaging the world. But it has a place, you know, but I mean, I guess there's ways to hear a shiur. You could hear it in a first-hand way, but I just feel it's like too fast. It's too fast, that process. You know, you skip the whole thinking about it. It's like you can't appreciate it. You don't enjoy it. You don't see the point. You kind of just hear it. I don't know. Just like, I feel like there's another point. The challenge of working on and being bothered by the problem and then how it answers it and I see it. It's like there's a whole experience which kind of you don't get. And then you don't attach yourself to the knowledge in the same way without that whole process. Yeah.
You were saying that in terms of, like, I remember you were talking about how, like, teaching is, being able to teach an idea is much, you having just a different, totally different grasp on the idea.
Right.
And then if you were just, like,
hear over someone else's?
Yeah, or whatever. There's just different levels of knowledge.
Yeah.
The more you know it, the more effective
right.
You're going to be, so.
This is an aside from learning how to learn. So, like, you've gained.
In a vacuum.
Let's state of being from your Rebbe in terms of learning the Derech, you know, pretty much past that, it would just be just seeing how his mind works now. Like, you just have a different mind in terms of his creativity, it's just going to be different. It's the same method, but his creativity is different, and his mind's different to be creative in a different way. So then what place does the Shir have? So it sounds like...
Reverse question.
What? Yeah, it sounds
the reverse question.
Yeah,
the
reverse, yeah.
Well, you got them.
Well, first of all, you get to enjoy all the ideas.
You don't have to think.
No, I mean, I think that there's...
Because, like, I was thinking before you answered, I was thinking, while you're saying it, that kind of sounds like we're just going for a nice experience, but it sounds like you're saying that doing it this way is really, like, the experience kind of shows that you're attached to the idea in a different way now.
Right.
So it kind of seems like, even though it might be an interesting idea, and it might be a great idea from your Rebbe, and it might be you never came to it on your own, it's just going to be just not as good. It's not really going to have the same. Like, we're not. It sounds like we're not in the business of just amassing ideas, no matter how nice they are.
Right.
So it sounds like if you could do it on your own.
So I think two things. First of all, we're a little bit in the business. It's like our side job. Amassing ideas. I mean, there is. It's like kind of like I like to think. Like a beautiful shir does allow you to appreciate the Chachmas Torah, and seeing beautiful ideas is like an experience which attaches you towards the Torah and draws you to God and as the Nosin Torah. And there is something to that experience. Really, a beautiful idea. Moved by a beautiful idea, which you may not have access to on your own. So there is something to that experience. I don't know if that's the essence of learning, and that's, I don't know if it's the substitute for that, but there is value to that experience.
Isn't that the opposite of what you just said before? That you don't get that experience if you're doing it?
Well, it may not in the same way. That's what I'm saying. It's like, if you had the exact same idea, and you heard it from your rabbi, or you worked it on your own, then you have a much greater appreciation of the idea. But now you take your rabbi's idea, which is 100 times greater than your idea, and you hear it secondarily. So even if it waters it down 10 times, it's still 10 times greater than your idea. You know, so like, the goal is to be able to be an independent thinker, so now you could have that idea, the highest idea which you can have, in a first-hand way. But there is a certain beauty of the idea, which you may not appreciate all the nuances of the Rebbe's idea, but you could appreciate it on your level, and it's going to be that much more astounding to you than the small idea which you work out, being, So there is something to the beauty of an idea, the depth of the Torah, and certain depth of an idea, an abstraction, which you may not have access to, but you may be able to hold on by the skin of your teeth and appreciate it by following Reb Chaim's lead or something. And that's like, it gives you, wow, the Torah is so deep. And in a way that you would have never been able to, to discover on your own. So that could attach you to, it has a value to, and that relates to the second part I was going to say, is that I think that you have so much to learn from your rabbi, assuming he's a good rabbi. Is that, or from any rabbi. I don't know. I think she's hiding. Yeah, there's always what to learn. I think in like they say, it's called the Talmud Chacham. I think this is like, that's what my father used to say. Maybe Rabbi said it once upon a time, but like, he was always a Talmud. Like a Chacham is a Talmud. It's like you're always learning, and your mind is nothing compared to your Rabbi. His Rabbi back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's always. There's infinite room to progress in your knowledge and in your ability to think. And presumably a Rebbe's at a higher level, or even if not, he's at his different qualities. Even if your Rebbe isn't, even your Chavrusa, different people have different strengths, and different ideas and different abilities to, you can learn things. Like a person could be lo made mikaladam, So, but Kolshke and your Rebbe has different nuances or different types of abstractions or different types of ways of thinking about things, and you're trying to learn how to properly think about them. So by watching your Abby and seeing the steps which she does take and doesn't take, it could help you develop your ability in thinking. So just, you know, you could just work on your own ideas, but like, for instance, if you go to, like, let's say the Rav Chaim's, you know, so he opens up like an area of abstraction of Torah that you'd never be exposed to. You know, Rebbe's here, certain ideas you could be open exposed to, and that could like set your bar higher, so that as you progress in, along your chain of knowledge, maybe in 5-10 years now, where you're striving towards could be that much higher because you've been exposed to a certain level of ideas. So there's something to seeing ideas, which even if you can't fully grasp them in your current mind, maybe you will be able to grasp them, or you kind of have an idea in your head of what learning is or what it could be. Even though you're not fully in touch with it, but it kind of opens up your mind and points you towards a certain direction of what learning is or could be or how to think about learning. And as you grow, you're trying to like pick up things. And yes, internalize them yourself. You're not going to ever mimic him exactly or your own thinker, but you could learn different things from him. You know what I mean? So I think there's like a loop of going to your Rebbe and then going to your own learning. There's a proper balance of learning is a person should have a Rebbe and should have a Shira. I think it's hard. Look, there's, I guess, in theory, you should never really outgrow a Rebbe. I mean, you should have been learned by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu learns by God's Baruch Hu. So I think you never, I mean, unfortunately, I guess sometimes you maybe don't have a Rebbe anymore, and just practically that's just the way of the world. You get old or you get whatever, and but in theory, as much as you have the ability to, I think a person's learning is best if you could have a back and forth. You should be able to learn on your own, and you should be able to learn from a rabbi. I don't think a person should ever really outgrow a rabbi unless they're,
In what kind of ratio?
I don't know the ratio. I would think it depends on the person, but I would think that as you grow, I think the ratio should be diminishing. The more you grow, I would think it should be more on your own and less on your Abbey. But not necessarily, but I just kind of have the intuition. When you first start out, you don't know how to learn on your own at all. And when you're an expert, I would think you don't allow you to learn a lot, but you still want to pick up things, But I don't know. I think it's hard for me to put quantities on it. But I say qualitatively, I see there's a benefit in both. But
let's say you had Moshe Rabbeinu as a teacher. And let's say he was teaching all the time. Would you ever not go to his shiur? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of confused now. The way you put both sides is pretty good for both sides.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just giving the extreme.
Right.
Flush it out, but I don't really know how to maneuver now. They just both seem good.
Right. Right.
What you're in the mood for.
Well, it depends also. Is like, I would think when you get at a certain level, so the shiur is... There's different kinds of shiurs. Like, let's say even Rabbi Shiur. There's different days in Rabbi Shiur. There's a day where Rabbi comes in and, like, busts out the svaras. Has them prepared. He knows what he's going to say. He comes in and he just tells you the svaras. I don't think you gain that much in those days. Rabbi, I tell the guys in Shiur that Rabbi said the days you gain the most in Shiur are the days where everyone's just sitting around for an hour and a half and no one says anything. Rabbi doesn't say anything. That's what you get the most, but not to be so extreme. But then there are days where, like, the shiur is you work out an idea with Rabbi, the guy's working an idea with Rabbi, and it's an interactive type of a process, and you get to learn with Rabbi. So then, in a certain sense, you're doing both, So that's insofar. So if you had like access to Moshe Rabbeinu all day long, it depends what you mean, what you're doing. Like, I don't know if you, Yeshua Ben Nun, was just listening to Moshe Rabbeinu talk all day long. Presumably they're like, so to speak, chavrusos in a certain sense, So like, I think the theory, and I think that's what, like you say in our yeshiva, that's kind of a model of shiur, is like somewhat of a chavura, where there's like a give and take. And right. It's like learning, so you're actively engaged in the learning. I think that's kind of what part of the process of green shiur and having it interactive like that is that the shiur itself is not just you watch the Rebbe and then you try to do it on your own, but it's trying to model the process, so that you get yourself to do it. But I don't know, I just think that I don't think there's a substitute for getting the Chavrusa and just learning on your own. I think that's a... I don't, maybe theoretically you could do it by Moshe Rabbein. I don't know. I just know that... It's just... Yeah, you gotta learn how to do it on your own. I don't know. There's a process of, like, working through sugyas on your own, or with chavrusa, I mean, necessarily on your own, I think is really allows you to grow in learning in a way. But...
Chazal says, I learned a lot from my teachers, but even more from my
chavrusa. Yeah, right. It's true. Right, it's true. Yeah, that says, right? Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from my rebbeim, and even more from my chavrusa, and the most from my talmidim. So you see, you learn more from your chavrusa. So if you're my Moshe Rabbeinu, he's your rabbi, yeah, but you're better off, you learn more from your chavrusa. Cool. So that Chazal indicates that there's a value to stepping away from your rabbi and learning with your chavrusa a little bit.
Like, that's the way we do it. Kind of like chavrusa. Like, I've never seen a shiur where it's just like...
It's different, though.
Seeing an idea.
It's different. I mean, you're still very much dependent and, like, leaning on your Rebbe as a crotch. Mm-hmm. It's like you have the art scroll in one hand and the Rebbe in the other. It's, you know, it's like there's an idea of becoming an independent learner and being able to throw yourself into a sugya and to be bothered by the problems of the sugya and to... have to make decisions about how to move and how to take a step here and to learn, you know, what's the right way to approach it and how can you be comfortable with approaching a problem and, you know, what's the good step and when should you be confident enough, when should you take it further, when should you do this. There's like a lot of things in learning, which is like if you're just in a shir, it's like you just become dependent on your rabbi and you don't really grapple with the challenges and the problems of learning, and you never develop into being an independent learner. Because, like, you always just rely on your Rebbe's thing, and, oh, okay, that's what Rebbe says. It's like almost like an authority. Like, there's a lot of subtle judgment calls, and I feel like you have to come to your own opinions on these things to a certain extent, and be comfortable as an independent thinker. And I feel like learning on your own, you could kind of develop. You can appreciate subtleties and nuances in learning, I think, by grappling with the problems. You just don't realize the full challenges in learning without doing it on your own. And I think it's very important. So I think that's my opinion. I think my first year of learning I couldn't really do it, but then when I went to Israel, I remember I had a chavrusa at nights, just an Ian chavrusa, and I remember that was like when I started really learning how to learn. First time I had a chavrusa, and like I'm sure if I look back now, as far as we're garbage, you know, sure they're just the way they are. But like we can't really just work that far, you know. And you slowly do it, and then you start. You just learn that way. I don't know. You just like make mistakes. You go through things. You know. You start. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that's the way to grow and learn. Like it's great to hear Rebbe, and Rebbe is opens up your mind and whatever. But I think it's hard for me to say what's objective was possible. I think I've learned a lot more from. I mean, I think the combination for sure, but from just those experiences of really working through sugyas on my own, you know, with chavrusas, just such a. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy I didn't have tapes through the kazoo. That would would have like taken all my time. I just know that that's how I learned how to learn. You know, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think definitely guys should do that. I mean, I don't know if this is talked about or whatever. I think definitely you should, that's especially because, like, as you grow up, I mean, it's on a practical level. It's just practically in life. You're not going to have shear. Just not going to. Tapes don't work. I don't know. Tapes, depends on the person, but tapes just are so hard. So hard to focus, especially nowadays on the computer and whatever. It's always to be distracted. And, like, it's just hard to focus altogether. And, like, you're not actively... And the tape isn't like with the Rebbe. It's only sitting by a shear. Nothing listening to a tape. It's like you're kind of very passive. You don't really appreciate the subtleties. You can't follow fully. It's just like tapes aren't the way to learn a sugya. You know, it's not the way to learn a Gemara. Even in a shear itself, it's hard to really appreciate it. But tapes take so much off of it, I think. You know, you're not there. You can't ask a question. It's not... So, like, it ultimately, like... When you have a job, you're probably not going to be in Rebbe or a Pesach Shir. You know? I mean, maybe you will, and hopefully you will, but, it's a good chance you're not going to. You know? And, like,
if you learn how to learn on your own, then you'll be able to be still involved in like really great learning. And if you never quite learn that skill because you are just dependent upon a rabbi, then you're kind of, you know, you'll do Shnayamikra, you know, and like, you know, you'll try once in a while to learn, but you're not really going to be involved in really advanced learning and the fun and the enjoyable learning. So if you never learn how to do it on your own, like, you're probably, you know, you can be very limited in your ability to learn, and you grow up. So it's like, you gotta try to start doing it now and learn how to do it and make sure you're able to do it so that when you get out there, you know, you'll be able to, be standing on your 2 feet and not just, you know, fall down. It's just like, you know, when you're yeshivas, you know, it's easy to go to shiras, but it's just not the way. Usually life isn't like that. I mean, like, some people's life and their jobs lend themselves to be able to just sit and share all the time. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Tapes, I just don't think are nice. It's like in your question, there's like a part of your question was just assuming tapes like equals like being by a shira and whatever.
Kind of like coming from a standpoint of like the working man guy's limited time. What should he do? Let's say he did.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. What? You gone? Okay. Yeah.
Like, let's say a guy like this living for a good time, and he can go to shiur, or he can learn on his own. You know, like, it's kind of confusing of what that guy should do. You know. Yeah, but like some of both with like an hour to a day, and so.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's any clear-cut answer.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, there's somewhat of a personal question. I guess everybody's open. But I would think that my personal leaning would be to have, let's say, your hour to a day learning on your own and Shabbos, like, let's say, go to shiur. Something like that, you know? I would think the quantity should be more learning on your own. Because, like, also, it's, yeah. It just depends what the guy, if the guy knows how to learn on his own. But I mean, if you do, then you'll get better at it, and then you'll just, because the learning, I mean, it's just not, the hour to a day is, like, let's say now your hour to a day could be listening to a Pesach share or something like that, but is it going to be able to be that in 2-3 years? 4 years and 5 years and 6 years? Like, it's hard to work out that hour or that time of the day exactly. So, like, usually the hour of the day is when there's no real shiur being given, you know. It's usually the way life works its way out, you know.
Right.
So I just think you have to, the better you are at doing it on your own, is the more you'll gain out of the process of doing it on your own in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years. And like, I think, I just feel like now is the time, if there's like an idea of being Koneh Torah, and like of mastering, you know, there's a level of becoming a lamdan and learning how to learn. You know, and there is like a point, and the better you are at it, the more you'll take from your learning for all your years to come. I think you want to try to, especially when you're still in yeshiva, it's like a different stage of life. Even though you're working, but still it's different. You're still, you know, you're still in the stage of life where you're kind of, you know, getting yourself up to a certain level. But I just think that's where you're going to grow as a learner, through that independent learning. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if you grow so much by shiur. I mean, I guess you do, but I think it's the combination. I don't know, going to shiur without the independent learning, I feel like sometimes you're just like, it's like entertainment. But you're not really growing. So it's like fun, and you're all learning and whatever, but it's like, I don't know what you take with it. Take it and become. I don't know, I'm not sure. That's just my feeling. Yeah, I, you know, I think so. I feel strongly about it, but it's just my personal opinion. But I would think that you should definitely, you know, get a chavrusa. Get a good chavrusa that you could really work through a parak. Get a sugya, go through a parak, start learning the chavrusa. Work on the. It's hard. It's hard to really go through a sugya on your own and really, you know, learn the different I don't really know where you're at on exactly, you know, but I just think, like, there's, I think maybe that's something which isn't done so much, but it should be. Like, sitting and learning the Chavar is learning how to learn. You know? Yeah, I don't think that, I think that you gotta do that. Yeah, it's somewhat of a personal question, you know. But if you've never really done that, or I don't know how much you have, I think there's a big, that's a big part of learning. Of learning. Yeah.
Do you think learning by yourself is almost as good or not?
By yourself? It depends. Depends how good you are at it.
Can it be as good?
I think so. I don't know. It's hard. It's very hard to do. I know. It's hard for me to do. I don't know. Maybe some people are good at it. But it's hard. It's like, you know, there's like, there's a lot that you get from saying your idea to somebody, saying it out loud to another discerning mind. That's what you're good about. It's another discerning mind. And having him question you, and like, they say, Torah niknes barichas v'asayim. Torah is acquired through like a length of speech. So, it's just, it's hard to, first of all, it's hard to focus. Just on practical levels. It's just hard to really like, think about an idea for a long period of time. When you're with Chavrusa, you have a give and take, it creates like a dynamic where you could work on a problem for an hour. You can work on the same problem for an hour, like you can think about it for a few minutes, you kind of get an idea. Like, oh, yeah, it's interesting.
And you can't like disprove
it. You can't disprove it, you can't really, you don't really know where to go with it.
Right.
It's kind of clear, it's whatever, and then you, okay, I guess I'll do another one. It's like, now, you know, but like, your Chavrusa will say, one second, you clarify that, and you work, and then back and forth, that's a good question, and then, you know, an hour later, you have a great idea. In the meantime, your idea is like this mediocre idea, that's kind of okay, but it's just like undeveloped, you know, and like, Chavrusa helps you develop the idea. So, like, maybe, I'm not sure if that's like an emotional problem or an intrinsic limitation, you know? Like, maybe in theory, the right person who's disciplined enough and is like able to like kind of play both sides of the coin. It's almost like self-analysis, you know? It's like, you feel like it works better when you have another guy, you know? Another guy on the other side of the room. But I'm not sure if it's an intrinsic limitation or not. Even like me Tamida, Yosemite Kulam, that's the other side, you know. Greatestly, I learned most from your Tamida. So even that model of a Rebbe, it gains more when you give it over in a year. So that's like, model is not, I don't think we have in our Masorah like a model of like a soul independent learner. It's always like a Chavrusa, a Rebbe, a Talmud. You know, where do you see like that model of like, maybe the Vilna Gaon did that, you know? I don't know if you did, but I think that's what they say. That sat in a room and learned by himself like 23 hours, 21 hours. But I don't know if it's true. Yeah, I always like, I try sometimes try to like toy with learning on my own, but it's hard. I just don't see the advantage in it, really. It depends. I mean, sometimes life, if you don't have resources, then you gotta learn how to do it on your own. But, you know, it's hard to get a shear. It's easier to get a chavrusa, you know? And I think it's worth, another thing which I think is important, is finding good chavrusa, or a few good chavrusas. Because, like, your ability to learn in life long term, I think if you don't have a good chavrusa, you're not going to be sitting learning for a night. Let's say, like, you have a job. So you can work a night, let's say. You learn a night, a few hours a night, or whatever. If you don't have a chavrusa, you're probably not going to learn that much, practically. And if you have a chavrusa, then you, a good chavrusa, then you can really, you know, grow together, learn together, like really, you could have a great thing. But it's not so easy to get a good chavrusa. So I think it's worth, you know, in your years in yeshiva, harnessing good chavrusas, finding like guys who you can learn with well. You learn how to learn together well, you have a good dynamic, you could, you know, you could learn, you could help each other work out ideas, you're not fighting all the time. Like, I mean, there's certain, you know, it's not so easy to get the right, you know, you think similarly, you like to, you know, whatever. Whatever it's about, a good chavrusa. But first of all, a good chavrusa is a great friend. You know, better friend than any other friend, I think. But it's also, you know, if you don't have, if you never get a good chavrusa, I think you're going to end up not being able to learn in your life. You know? seemingly embrace it practically, you know, I don't know, intrinsically, but practically. You know, I mean, I know my best friends are my chavrusos, you know, and they're the same guys I've been learning with for years and years, you know. Yeah. What do you think, Sam?
Kind of confused.
Kind of confused.
Kind of get what you're saying.
Think it over.
Think it over.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's like somehow maybe we don't do that enough, I think. You know? It used to be that was the model. You know? In yeshiva, when I was around, there was like guys would sit around and chavrusos and, you know, and shiurim weren't, you know, maybe weren't even as popular. Problem is like it has to do with also the ability to sit down and focus. I think like the internet is the problem. You know, it's just like it's easier to just get distracted. You know, and to not have chavrusos. So you just don't end up learning and doing these types of things because like you always have things to distract you. You know. But I think like it's important for guys to do is like to have a night seder, to have a seder a day where you have a few hours and it's a couple of hours sitting and learning the chavrusa and really working through a sukkah and, you know, without the distractions and just really, you know. Yeah. It's important. Otherwise, I feel like that's a problem. It's like learning got to be active. I feel like you have to be active in learning. And the sheer model, the model of a sheer just makes you passive. And, like, especially in this society, I feel like everything's very passive. You know, and like, I feel like learning is about being active and being able to really plow through a sugya and work through it. And the model of just sitting in a shir or just, you know, sitting and being entertained or whatever, it's just like, it prevents you from being able to really grow. It's easy, but it's not, I don't think it's the way learning is supposed to be. I think it prevents you from really developing your full potential by just without being active. And the best way to do that practically is a chavrusa. Give a shir is also good. Giving a shir. Whatever happened to that idea, the chavur idea? Did that happen this year? Remember that idea? No, we did. I told the guys this. We were going to implement it. I don't know. Our shmid was working on a whole thing, but didn't end up happening. But when I was bachur, we did this one year, it was great. We had like 4 days a week, or 5 days a week, we had like 5 guys, and every day, a different guy gave a shir to each other. You know, we did it for like a year or two. Like my day was Monday. So the 5 guys who were in the thing, like every Monday I gave a shir to those 5 guys, and then another guy was Tuesday, and you know. So it was like, it was good practice. First of all, different benefits. One benefit was that each guy, you'd get to give a shir. You know, in like a friendly environment, you know. It wasn't like they weren't busting you up or whatever. You know, there's something to working out an idea. Like, you have to be an eye, you have to really work out a sukkah to be able to give a shir, at least on some level. And then also, it was for the other guys, you got exposure to lots of different sukkahs. You know, like you could, how many masechtas are you learning? But this way you have 5 every week. You get 5, you hear 4, you hear 4 other sukkahs. So you kind of just get like svaras in different areas, and you get thinking in different areas. But giving a shir is good. It's a good way to get you also to be active. It forces you to do it. But, you know, shir to kids, anyone, high school kids, whatever. Yeah, that's a big thing. That helps you grow in learning also, giving a shir. On whatever level. Yeah. Yeah, but I think a person has to be an active learner. I think that's a big thing. It's not just about here. Yeah, that model. I just say it's not just about being entertained by it. Yeah. It just doesn't. See, for a person with long-term growth, they have to become like an independent. It's hard. It's hard though. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm just kind of saying my thoughts, first thoughts on the area. It's a good question. It's just my opinion at this moment. I have to, you know, this is not the result, the conclusion of, you know, hours of thought, you know. It's kind of, you know, I mean, I think I feel pretty strongly about it, but, you know, it's not like a conclusion of a thorough analysis.